I think it's fitting that while our reading deals with the ritual of purification, these days our sermons have to begin with their similar purification rituals. And so we comply with these, although ours are somewhat messier. Two days ago, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. The glory of the Lord shone all around and frightened the living daylights out of a bunch of shepherds. I couldn't find the collective noun for shepherds, who were directed to a stable where they marvelled at the newborn infant lying in the manger. Well, today, according to the substantive part of our gospel reading, that infant is now 6 weeks old. Don't children grow up fast? The birth of that unique child, Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, also gave birth to that true faith of Christianity. But of course, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, there was no such thing as Christianity. Because Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, had yet to carry out his ministry on earth, die, be raised from the dead, ascend to heaven, and give rise to the faith that he proclaimed and which would be available to all people. Because when Jesus was alive, there were only two types of person as far as the Jews were concerned. Those who were God's chosen people themselves, the Jews, and everyone else, the Gentiles. Jesus' ancestors, if you see the genealogies in Matthew's and Luke's gospel, which I have to admit, not a gripping read, were Jewish. Mary and Joseph were Jewish. Jesus was Jewish all his life. And so when Jesus was born, it wasn't a case of a quiet afternoon christening in St. Mark's on some convenient day when all the family could turn up, followed by a party in the hall. Because no, the Jewish laws and customs had to be observed strictly. And after the first verse of our reading, we're told what happened on the 40th day after his birth, which the church now marks as the Feast of Candlemas, or the presentation of Christ in the temple on the 2nd of February. The rites of purification and presentation. And first, Luke tells us about the purification ceremony, which has nothing to do with hand sanitizer. Indeed, it had nothing to do with Jesus himself, apart from being the cause of it. Under Jewish law, many bodily states or activities rendered people unclean, that is, unfit to take their place in society until they had been ritually cleansed. Why did the priest and the Levite not cross the road? No, this isn't a Christmas cracker joke. Why did the priest and Levite not cross the road to tend to the man attacked on the road to Jericho? Because he might have been dead, or at very least he might have been bleeding. So to go anywhere near him would have rendered him unclean to mix in society, unclean to perform their temple duties. They would have to self-isolate for a number of days. Now there's a novelty. Why was the woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years so desperate to be healed by Jesus? Because she had been unclean and ostracized from society for those 12 long years. Why was there such haste to take Jesus down from the cross? Because it was the day of preparation, the day before Sabbath, and you had to be ritually clean in time for the Sabbath. And another bodily state, which, having watched Call the Midwife, although I try not to, but if I retreat upstairs, I can still hear the hollering coming up through the floorboards, is the somewhat messy business of childbirth. Childbirth rendered a woman by the law of Moses ceremonially unclean and confined her to her home for a specified period, and then time had to elapse until she could be ritually purified of her uncleanliness. And how long that was depended on whether it was a boy or a girl. If it was a boy, it was 40 days. If it was a girl, it was 80 days. So women started at a disadvantage right from day one. And so it was that Jesus, being a boy, Mary and Joseph went to Mary's purification after 40 days. And although it had been a long trek from Nazareth to Bethlehem for a pregnant Mary, one of the advantages of giving birth in Bethlehem was that these rites took place in the temple in Jerusalem, and Bethlehem was only 6 or so miles away. And offerings had to be brought. A year-old lamb as a burnt offering to honour God and to give thanks for the birth, or a dove, a pigeon, to atone for sin. But as we read, Mary and Joseph brought 2 doves, and that was the minimum sacrifice allowed for those unable to afford a lamb. And that tells us several things. It tells us the Holy Family were also a poor family. The Magi not yet having turned up with their gold, and the shepherds presumably unwilling to part with any of their flock. And secondly, Luke goes on to tell us about the law of presentation. The Jews were required by the equally long ago law of Moses to present the firstborn males of their children and animals to God, and in the case of sons, to buy them back with an offering of 5 shekels. That was rooted way back in Jewish history, going back to the Exodus from Egypt. And for those rituals of purification and presentation of the temple, there was no requirement for the child to be present, although in this case it was fortunate that Jesus was, because on that occasion we read that it became special for a particular man in the temple that day, Simeon. Simeon, a man of God, prompted by the Holy Spirit to go to the temple on that particular day. Well, everyone else that particular day saw only a helpless 40-day-old child. Even the priests serving the temple saw nothing remarkable. But in this child, Simeon recognized what he had been waiting for his whole life, the long-promised Messiah. We presume he was of great age, but Luke doesn't say so. In his lesser-known nativity poem, A Song for Simeon, T.S. Eliot describes him as a man of 80 years and no tomorrow. All we are told is that he had lived faithfully and in expectation of the knowledge that before he died, this day would come. And in this outwardly ordinary child brought by ordinary village parents, Simeon saw the means of God's salvation to all people, Jew and non-Jew alike. And that's a recognition expressed in the words we have come to know as the Nunc Dimittis, quoted by Luke in his Gospel passage. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to be a light to light the Gentiles and to the glory of thy people Israel, Jew and non-Jew alike. And here we have the first mention in the New Testament of the redemption of all people that was promised way back in the Old Testament. Because the Jews believed that salvation was only for them. Not so, said Simeon, supported by the prophetess Anna, also present in the temple. Simeon had been prompted by the Holy Spirit. Simeon understood, but Simeon understood even more. He could see 30 years into the future. And just as God had prophesied to Simeon, so Simeon had a prophecy for Mary, who, like Anna, was destined to be a widow and to have to face this alone. This Jesus, this gift from God, would not only have a difficult life for himself, but he would concentrate the minds of everyone that he met, and indeed of the whole nation. Yes, come thou long expected Jesus, but be careful what you wish for. And Mary herself would not be exempt from this pain. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. This Messiah was born into our world to achieve the salvation of our world through his own sacrificial death. And while in the temple ordinary lambs of ordinary people were offered again and again and again for sacrifice to atone for various repeated sins and circumstances, one day Jesus would be the special lamb, the Lamb of God, sacrificed only once, but for always, on a cross for the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future. And to that, 30 years on, there would be a grieving witness, his mother, Mary. and that would be the day when the prophesied sword would pierce her soul. And that for us will be the significance of Candlemas. It will be our last glimpse back to Christmas and Christ in the crib before we turn our sights towards Easter and that same Christ on the cross. And so we pray. Almighty and ever-living God, grant that we may be presented to you with pure and clean hearts through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, your gift to us, the gift beyond words, as we prepare to meet him when he comes to bring us to eternal life with you. Amen.